Welcome to the Realize Soul podcast with Tessa Alburn. Receive a healthy dose of soothing vibes, heartfelt stories, and sweet soul wisdom for thriving outside of the conventional world.
Hello, and welcome to Realize Soul. I'm Tessa Alburn, and today I'm going to be sharing a couple of ways that we disconnect from our souls. The first way that we disconnect from our soul that I want to focus on today is through shame, the mechanism of shame. And we could be carrying shame around with us for months, for years, and even for a lifetime. Shame is that sense of being really bad or flawed in a deep way, right? It's just a belief that we're flawed or bad. It's not truth, but we feel it super deeply. And it also feels sometimes like it can never change. So beliefs start to add on to the feelings of shame, and it becomes an operating paradigm, if you will. Well, of course it's true. I'm not worthy. Of course it's true. I'm bad at my core, etc. And we can have moments of shame that was instilled in us, like through something really simple in a childhood incident, perhaps. There can be these moments where shame gets locked in energetically into what I would like to call our energetic blueprint. For example, many, many years ago, there's this one image that comes to mind with me in my childhood where I was with some school kids. It was after school and we were at my girlfriend's house and they had a pool and we were playing in the pool. And then for some reason, one of the boys just yelled out at me that I was really fat. And he actually called me a tank, which was like shocking. I was not that fat, but he called me that and it stuck. It was like, oh, that's really awful. And I was like, is there some truth to that? What's really going on? And that I already had some body issues going on that had been given to me by my mother. And so there was then the social influencer and the humiliation, the embarrassment of this boy who didn't even know me. And he just yelled it out for like no reason. And it was just so shocking that I couldn't talk about it. I couldn't even cry about it. It was so very shocking. And the unfortunate part was that stayed with me. I just kept questioning, you know, what was going on there? What was happening? Why would he do that? Why would he be so mean? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? And so the focus went from him to myself. All right. So I couldn't figure out why his behavior was the way it was. So it had to really be me, that there was some truth in that. And that meant I was really, really bad. If I was fat, I was really, really bad. Something really, really wrong with me. And I shouldn't get to play with the other kids. I should like go hide myself somewhere. So that moment, it happened in, you know, took less than 3 seconds to happen, stuck with me for a really long time. And that's the sort of moment that many of us experience throughout our lives, even though it can be a different story completely or a different kind of shaming. People get shamed for all sorts of things. There's also, in addition to childhood incidents which happen in that moment, or they can also be chronic. Shame can happen chronically over time, especially within a family system or in a school system or anywhere where there's a system in place. There's also ancestral shame that's been passed down epigenetically. And what that means is this is a study of genetics. That epi means above and beyond. The genes above the genetics. It's in addition to the genes. And epigenetics has to do with cellular function. And so fear, shame, trauma, the beliefs we have, these all can affect the chemistry in our blood. And then there are little groups of something called histones that form. They're essentially proteins that provide support to chromosomes. But these histones can actually hide groups of gene traits, and they can bring other gene traits forward into expression. These expressions or hiding of gene traits can last 3 to 4 generations, literally can be passed down to us. And there have been a number of studies on this, and people, a lot of people really doing, taking a closer look at things like where people maybe 4 generations ago were persecuted people, and then the person today is experiencing trauma and high levels of anxiety, and they don't really understand why. It can actually be linked back to the 4 generations ago when there was persecution happening. There was such great stress that the cells were impacted and those energies were passed down. Those histones formed and were passed down to future generations. So these things can affect mood, they can affect our temperament, and they can definitely affect our behaviors in life. So we might be wondering, why is it I'm still doing that thing? It doesn't make any sense. Or why am I craving this, that, or the other? It doesn't make any sense. I didn't have any kind of trauma like that in my youth or in my history. It might actually be something from the ancestors. A second way that I want to talk about today that we disconnect from our soul is through self-oppression. And I would say to you, you're probably familiar with self-criticism and that term and the inner critic, etc. Self-oppression is that inner critic. It's those constant belittling, the constant putting down. It includes the critic. And I would say it also includes kind of a shutting down or closing off, a suppression, if you will, also, of truthful expression, authentic expression, happiness, joy. So not only do we have the inner critic having a little heyday, we have our joy being oppressed. And other things that are oppressed in this state are our access to divine intelligence, right? So our connection to God or the divine, whatever you want to call it, is cut off. We're cut off from receiving that wisdom. And our soul is in that category. We want to be able to hear our soul, not just feel the pain of what we're going through. We oppress our joy by building beliefs around us that tell us we're not allowed to feel happy. You know, I know a number of really amazing women who have done a lot of good in the world, made a lot of contribution, and they can be caught in this paradigm of feeling like they're only supposed to feel so good about their lives because there's so much tragedy going on. There's so much awfulness, so much suffering. And we can build beliefs around things like that, telling us that we better not celebrate too much. That could be really, really harmful, for instance, to someone who doesn't have as much as we have. I think this is really common for successful women. And we can have so much of that oppression and that shaming going on around what's working in our lives, that then we have to shame ourselves into feeling grateful for what we have. Oh, I better feel grateful. But that's not really gratitude. And so we get into this murky, very murky area where we're not really expressing our truthful selves. We're not really bringing forward our gifts to the world because they do include joy and happiness and loving feelings. It's like there's a limit on the joy and happiness we're supposed to have. It's like these unspoken rules around happiness that are operating unconsciously in our lives to make sure that we don't hurt somebody else through our happiness, to make sure that we don't stand out too much, right? So we need to fit in. So fitting in means misery loves company. We're very familiar with that phrase, but this is a big, big problem. It's not something that's just a now and then thing. It's operating a lot of the time and limiting us in terms of the actual joy we could be experiencing. And then another way that we self-oppress is by believing that we'll rock the boat if we don't oppress our being. If we express too much of this, that, or the other, we're going to rock the boat. We're going to make things uncomfortable for people. So it's a different vibe. It's not like pointing somebody's suffering out. It's that we'll upset them. So we tend to self-oppress so that we prevent upsetting other people, rocking the boat. There was a time in my life when I was self-oppressing and in a shame cycle about it. So both of these were operating together, which is pretty potent. And I was really being harsh with myself. And I had root beliefs like there's something really wrong with me. That was in operation for sure. I must need to be punished on certain level. Like I'm not supposed to be able to enjoy life. Like it was like that. And I would question myself, then I would criticize myself, then I question and criticize and question and criticize. And that just kept going into a cycle of that really created this state of no win. I can't win no matter what. The good news is you can come out of something like that. And I was able to do that. If you're experiencing even small, moments of this, or like where you're having a bad day and maybe you get a migraine, or you have a bad week, or you have like a bad season. I know that seasonality can often come with different rituals in life. Like a lot of people have the seasonality of a certain time of the year in their work. It's going to be terrible, right? And so they expect that it's going to be terrible. Then they start to oppress themselves and their own needs so they can somehow push through it all, which is not the solution. So the two things I want to share with you today are, first, I want you to consider that what you're experiencing in terms of your inner critic, however small or big it is, your moods, your levels of stress, that these could be enhanced due to patterns of self-oppression or shame defaults. And then what I want you to do about it is to have a little kindness toward yourself. Now, this can seem contrary to actually changing things, but it's not. Kindness is essential to healing and to taking greater responsibility in one's life as well. So how can you be kinder to yourself rather than beating up on yourself and creating those no-win situations, those no-win feelings? Years ago, I went to a well-known animal park where that was back when it was still considered politically okay to do that. And I wound up talking with a lot of the trainers there. I wanted to understand more about their jobs and what it was like working with the animals. And what I learned was one thing that all the trainers had in common was a foundation in their the way that they worked with the animals was that happy animals who loved to perform for people, the way that they needed to learn was through positive encouragement. Positive encouragement. And that was a shocker to me because I was like, well, don't you have to discipline them? And, things like that. And the answer was no. You give positive encouragement. And in many, many ways, this is also what's needed for people, for you, to replace the kindness that might have been missing in your earlier years when you were developing and trying to make sense of the world. Now, I'm not saying that one never wants to have boundaries or discipline. I'm saying that the mode that most people operate from when they want to change themselves or get a different result is that they push. and pushing only causes resistance and upset on an inner level, and it cannot be sustained energetically. Kindness can be sustained. So let's say you've been really upset or ticked off about something, and maybe you're still brewing about it. You know, you've been swearing under your breath now and then, or criticizing yourself for being such an idiot. You know, why did I get involved with that? Blah, blah, blah. Something like that. And an example of how kindness might sound could first be an acknowledgement. And that would be something like this. Oh, yes, I am ticked off. I'm mad. I'm mad as heck. Oh my gosh. And I'm really frustrated with feeling mad. Jeez, I'm so frustrated. Yep, that's what I am. And then adding a kindness statement. And it might be, I would invite you to try something like this. If I were in the arms of an angel, what would they say to me? Oh, they might say, oh, it's okay, sweetie. It's okay to feel that way. Let's look at what you might be needing next. All right, so take that in. That might be very different than what you're used to. And I would love for you to practice this. And I'm going to give you a little sample of it in a few moments. We're going to do a little experience. The second thing I want you to do, so the first thing is add kindness, be kind. And secondly, I want you to get support so you don't have to hide your shame or self-oppressive tendencies. Shame gets some of its power from being kept a secret. It's all that stuff that's locked up in the closet. It's the stuff you haven't told anybody, probably, that you're not sure you can ever tell anybody. It could be one thing in your life, or it could be several small things. It doesn't really matter. Talking about it is beneficial. It releases something. It helps us to have a recognition that we're not as bad as we think we are. What's really important here in talking about it is to discern who would be a safe person to go to for that support. So, for example, you probably wouldn't want to just dump a bunch of your stuff onto a friend or a boyfriend or a girlfriend, because they're not going to be able to hold the loving space for you that you need while sharing. They could get triggered. They might have their own stuff come up. They might have their own judgments. They might not get it. They might need to ask you a bunch of questions, or they just won't even know what to say to you. On the other hand, therapists, counselors, pastors, coaches, mentors, experienced healers, basically professional people are often a good choice to begin with, because most of them are going to do their utmost to leave their judgments aside and hold a compassionate space for you so that you can get things off your chest. All right. So I would love to take a moment to let you practice a little kindness. Let's do that together. So if you're not operating any heavy machinery or driving, as long as you are in a safe place, you can close your eyes. Go ahead and take a breath and close your eyes. And just take another centering breath. Imagine now that you're hearing gentle waves in the background, perhaps an ocean or a lakeside or even a sweet creek, and a beautiful rhythm begins, just gentle wave rhythm. As the waves lap up onto the shoreline, you begin to also feel the warmth of the sun. Ah, the warmth of the land around you. Perhaps the sand is warm. You can squish your toes down into it. You're beginning to feel part of the loving universe. You're part of it in this moment. And it's safe here. And it's all right to receive the nurturing and loving energy of the water and the sand beneath you and the sky above. Good. You're doing great. Take another breath. Yeah. And go ahead and place a hand over your heart. And know that whatever you're feeling right now is okay to feel. If you're noticing your mind is busy, it could be critical, or it's just running off a whole list of things in your head, or if you're uncomfortable or you're worried about something, just notice whatever it is that you're experiencing. Keep breathing. And also know that it's all right to be having the experience that you're having right now. You're not wrong. You're just having your experience. And as you continue to breathe, allow the energy of your breath to flow throughout you, softening you. Just helping you soften a little bit. You're learning to accept yourself, all parts of yourself. You're learning that it's okay to listen inside yourself, and that it's okay to be kind to yourself. So now just do a little practice, a kindness practice, and give yourself a statement of kindness or compassion. And if you want a little support with that, ask, if I were in the arms of an angel, what kind thing might they say to me? Good. Now allow yourself to experience that kindness. You don't need to make anything of it. It's just kindness. It's a feeling. It's a way of being. It could be gentle, or it could be big and exuberant. However you're creating it right now is just right. Your soul wants you to know it's waiting for you to receive its love and to experience greater possibilities in life. And to consistently be able to look forward to living and to new things and to what's around the corner. In your mind's eye, look around once more now at your beautiful scene by the water's edge. And when you're ready, take a breath and open your eyes. Thank you so much for participating here on Realize Soul, for bringing kindness into the world by practicing it with yourself first, and then resonating it outward to others. You're invited to come back in a couple of weeks for more soothing vibes and inspiration for thriving outside of the conventional world. May you connect with who you truly are and honor it. Aho.
Thank you for listening to Realize Soul. If you love what you heard, please share us with your friends. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcast directory.